This morning we are departing from Ephesians briefly here, and we're going to Psalm chapter 9, the ninth psalm. Psalm chapter 9, beginning at verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. The title of this message, God is my refuge. That word refuge, you see it a couple of times in this passage. David, the author of this psalm, David understood what it was like not to feel safe. And how many of you, you've gone through circumstances, and I think it's not just physical circumstances, but sometimes it's emotional circumstances where you do not feel safe. You may even feel some fear, intimidation. David, one of those men, you might consider him to be, I would say, probably the 10 most wanted. I mean, he was a great king, but he went through seasons where he was a wanted man. At one point, his job as king of Israel was in jeopardy by none other than his son. Now, just imagine what it must be like to have a child turn against you. And that you're facing this child, and this child has garnered support, and really, you might say, the armies of that day against David, attempting to evict him as king. At times, David lived in absolute fear of his life. He endured trials, I think, that were far beyond what you and I face. But this man, along with all of his troubles, he discovered that there is a safe place. There is a place of refuge. In the Hebrew language, that word refuge, it actually has its word, its root in the word cliff. And the idea, in fact, we've been to some cliff dwellings. We've been to Southern Colorado, and you know there's these cliff dwellings that the Indians used to live in. And they were built high. They were intended to be a place of safety. And that's where this word refuge comes from, the cliff. First of all, let's look together at the refuge as a place of protection. Verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Verse 9 describes the refuge as a place of protection. You can underline that word refuge in verse 9. In fact, it's used two times. Who is the refuge for? First of all, the refuge is for the oppressed. Now, what does it mean to be oppressed? I think we've all experienced oppression at some point or another within our life. To be oppressed, it means to be held down. It means to have something that weighs heavily upon you. Have any of you, you've come here this morning and there's just something that is weighing upon your life. It's weighing upon your heart. It can be, in a sense, to feel overwhelmed or even in the Hebrew language, to be crushed, to feel crushed. Psalm 9 is believed to have been penned by David years after his battle with Goliath as a young shepherd boy. The Philistine army, literally crushing the Israelites. The most powerful weapon they had was, you remember the story of David and Goliath and the giant Goliath. Every day that giant Philistine man would come out and he would taunt the army of Saul, challenging anyone who would come against him. The army of Saul was terrified of Goliath. Everyone was terrified of Goliath except this one little shepherd boy, David. The circumstances of life at times can feel crushing. I believe sometimes, I know some of you are going through severe health issues. And we do feel and we do face health problems, especially as we age. We deal with more health issues, but sometimes those health issues can have an emotional toll. And so emotional issues lead to sometimes even spiritual issues, where you are feeling that you are, that it's as if you, there is an oppression that is against you. This should not surprise us, because the Bible tells us that we are going to face spiritual battles. And those battles can be oppressive. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, when Paul, as he was writing this, he said, "Of this age," my question to you, has anything changed? Are we not still being spiritually oppressed? Is there not still a spiritual battle that is taking place? You have faced spiritual battles most likely even last week, this past week. You will face spiritual battles this week. If you are living for Jesus Christ, if you are following after him in faith, you have one who opposes your faith. He opposes the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. He is Antichrist and he opposes Christ. And so there is a spiritual battle. And that battle can take place in the form of oppression, where you just feel your spirit is broken. Have you gone through one of those seasons in life? But David wrote, he said, "But the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed." God is a place of safety. We talked over the past couple of weeks about, out of Ephesians, about the household of God and how we are members of that house. Now, how many of you, you've got a security system in your home? Hey, you've got a security system in your home. Imagine the security of the house of God. He does not need an electronic security system. He is God Almighty, who is over the heavens and the earth, and there is nothing that takes place unless God allows it. That is a place of refuge for the oppressed. And because he is the refuge, he is the place of safety, and he is your, I like to just think of him as your protector. You have a protector. In verse 9, it also tells us that the Lord is a refuge in times of trouble. I think it's safe to say that the time of trouble is, well, I would just define it like this. I think the time of trouble is any time you feel what? Troubled. You're going through something. David often experienced trouble. Psalm 3, verse 1, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. "Lord, how they have increased who what? Trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me." Psalm 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, and you will lift me up from the gates of death." Psalm 20, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble." Psalm 31, verse 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." Trouble is something all of us are going to face at various times within our life. It may not be the same trouble that David experienced. We have different challenges. We live in a different time, in a different age. But one thing that is common to all of us is that sometimes trouble is of our own making. Isn't that right? Some of David's trouble was self-inflicted. But even then, David looked to God. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, we think if it's self-inflicted, well, we got to run the other way. God, you're going to be mad at me. The opposite is true. God says, run to me. I am a place of refuge, even when you are in the trouble that is a self-inflicted trouble. David had trouble from his enemies. He was a high-profile target. The nations around Israel, they were not all friendly, and they hated David with a passion. And the enemies of Israel were a constant source of trouble. David's family was a constant source of trouble. How many of you have experienced trouble within those who you should be closest to, those who, you know, you would think, this is my family, and yet you experience trouble within the family? David's son, Absalom, leading the revolt against David in that attempt to take over the kingdom. But David discovered that through every season of oppression, that God was a refuge. I've dealt with many oppressive seasons in life, from a young boy, from a young child, seeing the family, the going through the divorce, being moved. We didn't have money. There was rarely more than back then a dollar's worth of gas in the tank. There was not food. We struggled. But God was laying a foundation, and God has to lay the foundation in our lives. And one of the foundational blocks is that we do face and we do go through trouble in life. God was a refuge. David discovered that through every season of oppression, God was a high tower, that he was a fortress, and he would run to God. Isn't it wonderful that we can run not from God, but we can run to God? I was reading about two men. They had taken a drive near Cripple Creek, Colorado. They lost control of the truck that they were driving. This was actually in the news, and it careened over the edge of a long, sharp embankment. It ended up down near the bottom of a ravine. The driver actually perished in the accident. They had light clothing. The passenger survived for 6 days inside of the vehicle, critically injured, freezing temperatures. He had water, but nothing to eat. And finally, someone happened along. They were looking down at the ravine, and they spotted that truck down in the bottom of the ravine. I like to read the little comments sometimes at the bottom of a news story. I'll go through the reactions. And I began reading some of these comments that the readers had left. And one reader made the comment that an angel must have been watching out for the passenger that lived. Suddenly, the comment turned away from the story itself, and it turned against this person who mentioned God and angels and divine protection. One person said, Christians are always looking for an escape. This person said that the guy who lived survived only because of his rational thinking. Well, that's just humanism. And people often make negative comments about Christians, and they might say something, well, you know, Jesus is only a crutch. Religion is a crutch. God is a crutch. Well, I have to ask this question. I think if somebody's being chased by a grizzly bear, what fool wouldn't climb a tree if it would save him? Who would be so stupid to say, well, I don't need a tree to escape the bear. If I just run fast enough, I can save myself. I read about two friends who were hiking in the woods when there was a large grizzly bear suddenly appearing, starts charging after them, toward them. Right away, one of the hikers stops. He drops his backpack. He takes off of his heavy hiking boots, and he starts putting on a pair of Nikes. He panicked. His friend looked at him and yells, are you crazy? You can't outrun a bear. And calmly lacing up his sneakers, the guy replied, well, I don't have to outrun the bear. I only have to outrun you. On multiple occasions, scientists in Yellowstone have clocked grizzlies running at 25 to 28 miles per hour. The fastest human alive has been clocked at 27 miles per hour. You cannot outrun a grizzly. Sometimes our troubles are so severe and we recognize that I cannot outrun my problems. And the most rational thought that you could ever have, it's not, well, God is a crutch. Christianity is a crutch. It's that we are in trouble and we need to run to God. He is the answer to our trouble. And so we run. He is our refuge. David was continually faced with trouble. It was far greater than any human could possibly handle, but David had this safe place. The Lord was his refuge during oppression. The Lord was his refuge during times of trouble. Now listen, because I've experienced myself, and I'm not pointing at anyone. It's I think what we all deal with at times. We all deal with seasons where we go through something and there's just this sense of lack of faith. We don't feel safe. But in our trouble, we feel this sense of anxiety in our life. We are worried. We're concerned. We might even be afraid. And many Christians today live in fear of someone or something or some circumstance. And you ask the question, you say, well, if God is the refuge, then why do so many oppressed or professed believers experience this anxiety, this worry? Verse 10 answers this question. We've looked at the protection in verse 9, but let's move on to 10. Who are the protected? Verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. Who are the protected? Well, it's those who know the name. What does it mean to know the name of God? Well, David certainly had studied the Word of God. He had studied what you and I would consider the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He'd studied God's Word. If you have studied the Word of God, then you know and you understand the names of God. David, he said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the Word of God. And in his law, he meditates. He's thinking about it continually. And if you are meditating upon the Word of God, you're going to come across the name of God. You're going to understand what it means. David knew God as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. This is also the name Abraham gave to the place where the Lord provided a sacrifice in the place of Isaac. David knew God as Jehovah Nissi. That's our banner of love and protection. It is also the name that Moses gave to the altar he built after defeating the Amalekites. David knew God as Jehovah Raha, our shepherd who tenderly will lead us. He loves us and he keeps us in that place of safety. The famous Psalm 23, for the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. David knew God as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your physician. I am the Lord, your healer. This name was the name God prophetically spoke about himself, and not one that someone gave to him. And so we discover there are many names of God, and every name describes something of the nature of God. And God is going to take you through experiences whereby You become sensitive to that name. Sometimes it is God, my provider. I need provision. I'm financially insecure. I don't know where the next dollar is coming from. And so you call out to God, my provider, Jehovah Jireh. Sometimes you feel that you just need someone there with you. You're going through something and you just wish God was right there next. He is. A shepherd never leaves the sheep. And so you know him as Jehovah Raha, and sometimes you need healing. And you begin to pray and ask the Lord to heal your body. And so you need Jehovah Rapha. The many names of God, and of course, we all know that these names are describing the nature of God. And of course, we know God as Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. That's Jesus in the Greek. And I do know that the name of God, I know it as a matter of study, but I also experience that name within my life. And listen, if something should happen and you say, well, what if God doesn't heal you? What if God doesn't protect you the way you physically think you need protection? And you say, well, I have him as Yeshua. He's my salvation. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My salvation is absolutely secure. That's not something I worry about. And so many of you, you've known the name of God and you've studied that name, and more than just study, you have experienced God and his very nature. And finally, notice with me the result of knowing God's name. Verse 10, and those who know your name, what do? If they know your name, if they know the name of God, they've experienced the name of God, they put their trust in the name of God. I know I can trust God. He is my refuge. He is my safe place. What I think is safety, I think it's more than a statistic. It's not just about living in its safest city. It's not about living in the safest neighborhood or even having the safest job. When I think about safety, I think it's really not about where you are, but it's whose you are. Do you belong to him? Are you trusting in him? Do you know his name? Do you know him personally through Jesus? Let me just close with, finally, number 3. There's a promise here. It's at the end of verse 10. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I love this promise. Do you know God could never make, he could never break a promise that he's made? If he makes a promise, he will keep the promise. David also knew from the law, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes, what? He's going with you. Paul said, if God be for me, who can be against me? And David knew by experience that God had never forsaken him, and God will not forsake you. That is a promise. In seasons of oppression, in times of trouble, there really is only one safe place. There is only one true refuge. The Lord is your refuge, and we run to him. We can hide in him. We can feel safe with him. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this place of refuge, and not knowing what different circumstances people face. I know some of them, but you know. And so we thank you this morning that we have this wonderful promise. We have this place of refuge for those who trust in you and for those who know your name. And it is in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, our Savior, that we pray. Amen.